It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And you're playing a team that has a ton of Stanley Cup final experience. They were just there last year. Is that an edge that you guys have to overcome, and how do you do that?
Yeah, experience is good. I don't know how much experience is, you know, beneficial. You can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is.
That's Chris Knobloch, the head coach of the Oilers, asking a question about, well, the Panthers' experience. Yeah, the Bills did not take advantage of their Super Bowl experience. We all know about that. Welcome you back. Hour three of our Belmont Steak Show live here at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us. Evan DePasquale producing. Sabres great Danny Gare going to be joining us here maybe in about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes or so here. He's coming in for the Belmont party. We'll have that. But another great voice to hear from here to talk about the latest with the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dan Dunleavy, the voice of the Sabres. Dan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. We could have drove out to Batavia Downs as well. I mean, we drove to Springville, and I parked so I can do the interview, but Batavia Downs, I could have been there for that. Next time.
Yes, well, maybe next time you can join us in person. We do it for the Triple Crown shows every year. It is fun here for sure. We had Thurman Thomas was here for the last show, and we got Danny here today, so... Maybe on your drive, you can listen to Danny coming up soon.
Yeah. Or yeah, well, I don't know. We're just sitting here. Maybe I'll just drive over, and after the interview, we'll meet him. Who knows?
That's right. All right. Excellent. Well, Dan, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. It's busy times here. We know the NHL Combine in Buffalo. The Amerks have a new coach. Today's the 25th anniversary of Jason Woolley's goal for Game 1 for the Sabres in the 99 Cup Finals. And Game 1 is tonight between Edmonton and Florida. So even though it's summertime here, hockey is definitely on the minds, I'm sure, of you too.
Yeah, and you actually missed the biggest moment that's going on in hockey today. It's Rob Ray's birthday.
That is. I should have mentioned that right away. Good point. Thank you.
Probably, you know, Stanley Cup Finals, I get it, big deal. But Razor is another year smarter. So, you know,
what is the best part about working with Rob Ray, Dan? Tell everybody.
Remember, we only have
a 15-minute segment here, just a reminder.
Yeah, best part about working with Razor, obviously, is the one-liners. But honestly, it's how much he knows about the game and the insights that he gives when, you know, we talk about my job in describing and RJ's job when he was here describing what's going on. And then Rob just does an amazing job at telling you why. And there's a lot of color analysts who just, in my opinion, will repeat what the play-by-play broadcaster just said. But Rob doesn't do that. He tells you why it happened, which I think he's extremely good at. And then the other part that I really enjoy is, you know, the dad in Rob and just listening to how much he cares about his family and how much he thinks about him all the time. And when you're on the road and you spend that kind of time with one another and, yeah, you know, endlessly talking about his kids and his family, it's really cool. So those would be my three highlights about working with Razor. Your question about a lot going on in hockey right now. Yeah. Looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about the new head coach with the Amerks. Looking forward to working with a former head coach of the Amerks with Seth Appert being on the crew in Buffalo and kind of, you know, just being on the road with him and picking his brain a little bit more than obviously Rob and I have certainly been able to throughout the NHL season. So that'll be a pleasure. I certainly know Seth and you know, the limited conversations, but a few that we've had. And I really like his personality. I like how he approaches his job, how he handles his players. And it'll be a nice opportunity to get to know him a little bit better in that way. And then for the Cup Final tonight, I can't wait. I mean, I got to be honest, I didn't know if Edmonton would get there. I was hopeful in a way, because I think a lot of people want to see a Connor McDavid type player, you know, the best player in the game in that time, get to the championship. And it's not obviously a one player series here, but I think you'd like to see him have the opportunity to shine under this kind of a spotlight. So he's going to get that. When they were playing Dallas, though, I thought they were down and out. I thought Dallas was the team that was just rolling. I thought that they might be able to maybe out-muscle a little bit and use their youth and skill and really put it to the Oilers. And it looked like they were going to at one point, but then Edmonton just flipped the switch, and they shut it down. They played good defensive hockey. They survived a lot of moments in that series. It looked like that Dallas was going to get the better of them, but even with the Stars pushing, a lot of the offense was outside enough that Skinner could see shots and make some really timely saves, even when they got in tight, especially in the latter stages of the series. So there's my Cole notes in answering all three or four of your questions there.
Dan Dunleavy with us here on the line as we broadcast live from Batavia Downs Gaming. How about that thought from Chris Knobloch that we just opened the segment with there about experience in this series here? As we look at this Edmonton versus Florida matchup a little, Dan, he says, yeah, you know, experience is great, but look what the Bills did with it. I know Bills fans and people here in Western New York maybe didn't love the comment, but is he right? Like, maybe is it overrated?
Yeah, first of all, I don't know, Chris, but I'm pretty sure, you know, for a guy that coached the Erie Otters, he's well aware of the Buffalo Bills history, and certainly is close enough to the community being in Erie for a few years that he knows what he was saying might have ruffled some feathers, but I don't think he meant anything by it. I think he's just talking as a coach and trying to deflect a little bit, because obviously the conversation is going to center around the fact, and I think we would say it too, hey, look, if it were the Sabres going in back-to-back cup finals, and if you hadn't won the year before and you lost to Vegas in the fashion that Florida did, you'd say, look, well, okay, the guys have been there. They got their experience. They got a taste of it. They know what it takes to get right down to that last moment to win a Stanley Cup. So obviously that's going to come up. But I think for Chris Knobloch, he's just using the opportunity to deflect what is a different case scenario. It's a one-off game, obviously, that the Bills had to deal with in four consecutive years. To make it to a Stanley Cup final or any championship game in four consecutive years. I'm also pretty sure that Coach Knobloch would tell you that's a heck of an accomplishment. It's not what you want to achieve, but still it's pretty impressive to get there 4 years in a row. And, you know, try to think of the last time any other team has done that. But in the truth of the statement, I do think there's a little bit to it, because in handling the media pressure, for whatever that is, honestly, I mean, at this point, to me, sometimes I kind of laugh it off a little bit. Sure, there's going to be more, there will be more media camera and people there who maybe haven't covered the game daily and asking questions. You're going to hear the same question 35 times, but they've already done that for 82 plus games this season. And for most of them, a few times in their career, season's over. So I don't see that being an excuse as far as pressure goes. But if you want to talk in-game pressure and the old cliches that we'll use and squeezing the stick or, you know, hurrying a pass, I think for the most part, players are different these days. I think there's more patience with the puck. I think with the talent in the game, the way it's being officiated, I'm not saying it's being officiated perfectly, but the way it's being officiated with a lot of power play opportunities, a lot of penalty kills that you can turn the momentum of a game, I don't know that there's too much experience that Florida has over the Edmonton Oilers once they drop the puck. I think all the Oilers have to deal with is the fact that the Panthers are going to come at them. They're going to run their D. They're going to force turnovers. They're going to try to force turnovers. And the Oilers, I mean, it sounds simple, but if you start blowing the zone and your D's handling the puck, they're going to get crunched, and they're going to turn the puck over, and you're going to be in trouble. So you got to have, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, if I were the Sabres in this series, you got guys back here, and make sure that your D have short passes to work the puck out of your zone. If you're going to take a hit, that's fine. You'll get a chance to deliver one. So, you know, I don't know how much experience will matter in-game. I think the experience around everything as far as attention and cameras, and I guess there's some embedded crews as well following these teams around in the final. Players might even be used to that. So I don't know how much weight I put in that. I think once the puck drop, It's man against man out there right now, and whoever wants it more, literally, because the talent on both sides, is going to come away with a cup.
Dan Dunleavy with us, voice of the Sabres, joining us here as we preview the Stanley Cup final. You know, Florida, we know, has a lot of former Sabres on it, Dan, including Kyle Okposo. I know that players had such high things to say about the Sabre captain, as we've heard from when Don Granato was the coach. We've heard also from GM Kevin Adams. I'm sure that while the Sabres, of course, would love to be playing in this right now, there are going to be some smiles from Sabre current players if they do get to see Kyle raise that cup in about a week or so from now.
Yeah, I'm sure there will. I mean, it's a brotherhood you form when you're on a team. I know if it was you and I sitting in the room and you're off winning a cup and I didn't, I'd be a little peed off about it, to be honest with you. And yep. It would at least and not in the manner that I'd want to change where I am, but in the manner that I'd want to change the fortunes where I am. So, you know, maybe if it happens, I don't know if the Sabres need that kind of fuel. They shouldn't need it. I mean, it comes down to taking care of your own business. But I do understand the storyline. There's five former Sabres on that team. I venture to guess that all five might have been on the team at the same time at some point, too, which can be frustrating as well for some people in Buffalo, including, I'll be honest, at times myself when I watch it and I see the group that's out there in Rodriguez and Montour and Reinhart and Kulikov and Kyle Pozo, and I'm thinking, okay, I've called those names for a number of years, mm-hmm. and these guys are, you know, possibly four wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. And then part of you thinks, okay, why didn't that happen here? So you kind of carry that a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see where the city stands and how they root for that kind of thing. But obviously, as you mentioned, you know, amongst the brothers that are in the room and the teammates, you know, of course, you're going to be happy for them. I do know the competitive edge of some of the guys in that room, and they're going to wish that, you know, enough is enough. We got to put ourselves in that position to be in the same boat that other guys left to be in. So.
Yeah, and not to pile on that aspect, but if it goes the other way and Florida doesn't win, well, yep. Connor McDavid gets his cup coming off of a Jack Eichel cup the previous year, and we know, of course, the Sabres had their infamous season where they were obviously trying to land those superstars, and then both McDavid and Eichel could have cups as well. We know even a few years before Eichel wins it, Ryan O'Reilly has the series of his life in the playoffs and goes on and wins a cup. So there's a lot of open wounds here from the Sabres, even when they're not involved.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I'll tell you what, I sent Chris Cuthbert a note the other day, just yesterday, actually, and he sent me a note back, and I just wished him good luck in calling the cup final up on Hockey Night in Canada. And he got back and he said, thank you very much. He says, I'll try not to make too many former Sabre references on the call for you. So, you know, I think a lot of people are very aware of, you know, the connections, obviously, that run deep as far as Buffalo fans are concerned with this series. And you talk about Jack winning the cup last year and an opportunity for Connor McDavid. Obviously, it's a different scenario there, but still connected to Buffalo in a certain way. But I'm just really hoping for... I mean, we always hope for a seven-game series, but I really want to see that in this one, because to get the seven-game series, it means Florida didn't come in and just run over the Oilers, and maybe in a game or two they do, and then the Oilers adjust, and then all of a sudden, whether it's power play opportunities or whether it's, you know, Hyman continuing his, you know, really proficient scoring in the playoffs, whether it's Connor McDavid, whether it's Dreisaitl, whether it's somebody else in the Oilers lineup that makes a difference. So, that seven games here will tell me that you've got the absolute best case scenario, because I think the Panthers are the most deserved team in the Eastern Conference to be where they are. I think they do everything the right way as far as intimidation, takeaways, goaltending, everything. I mean, leadership in the room, leadership behind the bench. I mean, you just, I don't know how you can't be impressed with it, whether you root for them or not. So, I think that if we get seven games here, I think we're probably seeing one of the most memorable Stanley Cup finals when you really think about the cast of characters that would have to lead the way to a seventh game in this series, with the likes of Barkov and Tkachuk and Bobrovsky, and that would obviously have to mean that Skinner would have to have the series of his life as well at this stage in his career. So that's where my thought is at. I think the Oilers can do it. I think a lot of people are selling them a little bit short here. I think they're going to have an answer for Florida at some point, but if the Dallas series is evidence, I think the Oilers will find a way to have an answer and make this a very interesting series, if not win it.
Just another minute or two here with Dan Dunleavy, Sabres play-by-play man here, as we talk about the Stanley Cup Finals, which starts tonight. Dan, I know you have a good pulse on this. Are Flames fans, are Canadians fans, are Canucks fans, are Leafs fans rooting for the Oilers?
If you're a diehard Flames fan, there's not a chance you're rooting for the Oilers. if you're diehard, there'll be a part of Canadians that are rooting for the Canadian team. It will happen. They will sit there, they'll watch Hockey Night in Canada, and they'll hate themselves if a little piece of them says, hey, the Cup's coming to Alberta. You know what? A little piece of them will say that. But at the end of the day, I don't know, that'd be like a Sabres fan rooting for the Boston Bruins or a Bills fan rooting for the Patriots in some way, which I can't ever imagine in my lifetime, and you're going to tell me you're not wrong. So, but as far as a country goes, there'll be some for sure. Not everyone's an angry hockey fan in Canada, but everyone is a hockey fan in Canada. So, yeah, there'll be some Go Canada Go. And then at the same time, you know, Canadians, as you know, are very aware of where players around the league are playing and where they came from. And that's one thing that, you know, I've in growing up, and you have too, in watching Hockey Night in Canada, the reference is always to the hometowns where the guys come from. If they're a Canadian player, it's thrown out there, whether they're from Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Manitoba, whether they're from, you know, yep, Northern BC or Yellowknife or out in Nova Scotia, in New Brunswick, it doesn't matter. They're going to get mentioned there. And that, I think that's kind of what unites that country north of the border.
That's right. All right, Dan, well, I know you'll be busy before you know it here. We've got, what, the combine this week, then we're going to have the draft at the end of the month, and then the schedule will be out for next year, so you can already start planning your life comes next September here, right, with preseason coming your way.
I'm looking forward to the draft. I'm, as we all are. I mean, this is the time, when Kevin has said it, he's open to being aggressive with the pick, and whether it's a player that they really like that they're going to, you know, bring on board and have him in the next few years be ready to go, and if there's a spot that they need filled, or if they can use that pick and bring somebody in here or be part of a deal that would excite the city and excite the locker room and the new head coach as well. I don't know what the odds are in it, but it's pretty clear that Kevin is open to that kind of thinking. So this will be an interesting draft. I think in the past, it's safe to say the draft has been about acquiring talent. It still is. But maybe there's a different way of acquiring different talent this time. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep, and maybe some immediate players that come onto the ice for the NHL team right away. Yep. Dan, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm sure I'll see you soon. Thanks again.
Yeah, I appreciate you remembering I'm here, and have a great rest of your day at Batavia.
I will. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, same to you. Dan Dunleavy here, Sabres play-by-play man. I miss getting to see Dan at all the home games. All right, ready to go, Danny? All right, let's bring in Sabre great Danny Gare. Danny, thanks for coming by.
It's great to see you, man. It's great to be here at Batavia Downs and going to meet and greet a lot of the patrons here on Belmont Steaks.
That's right.
Race and the bourbon.
That's right.
the whiskey.
The bourbon and the whiskey fest. That's right.
Yeah.
So do you agree with Dan? If you're a diehard Flames fan, you're not rooting for Edmonton here?
It's funny. It's funny you say that, because I played my junior hockey in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I was born in British Columbia, Nelson, and I went there as a 17-year-old. And you could see the rivalry back in junior then when we played the Edmonton Oil Kings. It started, and then the WHA came in, and that rivalry between the Calgary Cowboys and the Edmonton Oilers, and then the Oilers went on and Calgary to be in the NHL. So we all know about the Battle of Alberta, and it was some dandies back in the day. But you know, I Calgary's great. The hockey fans are, like you said, in Canada, they love their hockey, and I'm sure they're hoping that someone from Canada, since 93
Montreal,
so. We'll see what happens. It should be a great series.
It should
be.
And, you know, for me, at my age, I'm mid-40s. When I first watched hockey and I saw, you know, successful hockey, it was Edmonton's mid-80s teams, mm-hmm, with Gretzky and Messier and Curry and Coffey and Fuhr and that whole group. I know you know them well. And, you know, for me, that was the team that, when I didn't watch the Sabres growing up, that was the team that I watched. And, you know, even watching on CBC, right, watching those games when I would get the Saturday night games to watch here in Buffalo. So, like, my first non-Sabre hockey team that I just, you know, loved watching was the Oilers.
I played for them in my last year in the NHL in 87 when they won their third cup. And sat next to Messier in the dressing room, and Wayne took me in for about a month and a half till my family came in. And
That's great.
He calls me my old roommate whenever I see him. But no, they had unbelievable teams back then, and it was great to befriend those guys and to be teammates with them and to see how their, you know, their work ethic was and their abilities to overcome a lot of things. And that's what I think the Oilers have done this year, is overcome, you know, and had good resilience. And kudos to Knobloch for the coaching staff, and Paul Coffey, my old friend, there behind the defense corps. And he, you know, I think the whole organization had a reboot, and boy, did I thought Connor McDavid and Draisaitl and then their core group really took it to another level.
And Danny Gehr with us here as we talk about the Stanley Cup Final, which starts tonight, Edmonton and Florida. McDavid obviously was a player of the Sabres, and then Tim Murray, the GM, would have loved to have gotten their hands on. Yep. Lost the lottery. That last ping pong ball did not go the Sabres' way. Of course, the consolation prize in that whole aspect was that you were getting Jack Eichel.
Right.
Well, Jack Eichel wins a cup last year with Vegas, and now Connor McDavid may be on the verge of it here. In the end, why didn't that all work out for the Sabres? Like, do you look back and say, like, that should have worked? I mean, he obviously is an outstanding player, and that whole, you know, let's face it, our station, we called it the tank, right? It was the tank season to get one of those guys that would ultimately win you a cup. Well, Tim Murray wasn't wrong. Jack Eichel won a cup, and he was a big part of it, and now McDavid might do the same. So the plan to get one of those two guys to help you win a cup wasn't the wrong plan. It just did not work out here.
No, it didn't, unfortunately. And you know, like you said, Jack, you know, I think a lot of it was because of the situation here, the injury that he had with his neck. And, I guess it's similar to when you go to O'Reilly. I mean, they just didn't have the team to get to the cup, you know. And with O'Reilly, I mean, one of the things with Ryan was that he just hated losing. And that put him in a position where he said, look, I want to go somewhere. And the same, I guess, with Jack. I mean, I think, you know, he was younger, obviously, and I think the captaincy was a little bit of a heavy lift for him, you know, as a youngster, but he learned through things like that and then got to a veteran team in Vegas, which is a much stronger team than the Sabres had, and he filled in adequately, more than adequately. I mean, he had a great playoff, so, yeah.
Did you go through a time at any point on a struggling team where you, I don't want to use Ryan O'Reilly's phrase to say what you were feeling, but he said he lost his love for hockey. Like, did you ever go through that in your career?
Well, when I played here, when I first came here, well, it was 50 years ago in 74, 75, we went to the Stanley Cup.
So you had success right away.
And I mean, it was amazing. We lost to Philly in six games, but I mean, I thought it was going to happen every year. You know, I really did. We were that good of a team. We had the connection. We had, you know, guys like Freddie Stanfield, Lorenz, you know, I can go on and on. You know, Dudley, Spencer, McNabb. We had a great team, Schoenfeld. And it's just unfortunate Bernie Parent was a better goaltender and we had some injuries. But, yeah, I thought we were going to do it. We won a couple Prince of Wales when I was here. You know, we got close. Islanders came on, and we just couldn't get past them. But one of the times when I felt that, to answer your question, was when I got traded to Detroit. And Detroit was, you know, the Dead Wings when I got traded. And that was awful, you know, to see, you know, the situation they were in. But Mike Ilitch bought the team, and a year later he named me captain when he bought the team, and I saw some resurgence from the Red Wings. We made the playoffs back-to-back when I was there and tried to help build that. And I had a guy next to me that was pretty good player, and a guy named Steve Yzerman. He was number 19, and I was 18, and kind of, you know, took him under my wing, and he went on to win cups. So, yeah, it was And then my last years when my contract was up with Detroit, I wanted to try and win a cup. I felt I still could, even though my back was a little sore and I had some issues injury-wise. So I remember calling Glenn Sather up and asking him if I could get a tryout, you know, and he gave me a tryout. First I asked him for a contract. He said, I'll get back to you on that. But I went there and made the team. And, you know, back then there weren't too many, you know, roster spots open on that team. But fortunately, played with them, and that's when in 86-87 when they beat Philadelphia to win the cup. So
that's great. So you played with Yzerman, you played with Gretzky, you're playing with Messier.
Yep.
These are the elite leaders of the game.
Yeah.
The Sabres have been searching for that elite leader. What made those guys so great, and what's why is it not? Why can't the Sabres organization find that leader that they can have, not beyond even the hockey talent, the leadership that maybe can push them to that next step?
Well, I think the attributes that those guys had, when you talk about Stevie Y and I, to me, Mark Messier was the best leader I had ever played with. I mean, yeah. He was all business when he came to playing the game. He worked, and Gretz was a good leader also, but in a different way. He was, you know, very skilled, and obviously with the records that he's had throughout his career, but he, you know, they just were guys that led by example. They went out there. Stevie was the same way. They worked hard every practice, you know, first guy on, last guy off the ice type of thing, but they had this demeanor about them that nothing was going to ever, you know, change, you know, their persona or the team's persona as to how they were going to play. And they bred that throughout their, you know, the team and the organization. And Mark has, what, 6 cups? Stevie's got 3 or whatever. Gretz has got 4. So in saying that, I look at, you know, this team here, and I love Kyle Poso. I think he was a great captain, you know, and it's great to see him get an opportunity to win a cup. I'm hoping that he does. But there are players on that team that have leadership skills, like Dylan Cousins, Alex Tuck, to me, you know, those are 2 names that come to pop out to me. Darlene, maybe, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not to say that they don't have that ability. It's just, you know, not when you get that opportunity, you've got to, you know, grasp it and take it. I mean, I was a captain for 10 of my 13 years, and, you know, I just, you know, wanted the best for my teammates and the organization, and you went out and did whatever you had to do that.
So, I don't know how many of the interviews you heard after Don Granato was let go, but a lot of the players talked about that the team needs accountability, and that was a big piece of it. So you being a former captain, how much of that is on the captain? How much of that is on the coach? And then I know if I ask Paul Hamilton this question, he always says, look, if you're in the NHL making the money you are and you need a coach to fire you up or a captain to kick you in the butt, you shouldn't be in the league anyway. Now,
well, what's he's the got a point there.
What's the balance that it should be at that point?
Well, I accountability is what it comes down to. I mean, everybody, you know, that signs a contract. I remember my dad saying when I was having issues with, you know, early in my career about not getting on the power play. I scored 50 goals on a checking line, you know, and I had 6 power play goals.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, but we had a great line in Lucen Ramsey, and we were doing our job. And he said, you signed a contract to be the best professional you can. Do that every night, and you'll be fine. So I think that's one of the things that when you look at, you know, this team, these players that are the Sabres now, I think they, you know, any team, you have to have accountability, and that comes from your individual and the team leaders, peers, coaches, whatever. You have to have that ability to go into a game and say, look, I'm going to do my best, to give it 110% every game. And if you don't, then, you know, that's on you. You got to look in the mirror the next day, and everybody knows when you haven't given it, and you know yourself, so... Yeah. Coaches know, everybody. I mean, all the video and everything you see. But players, you know, that are in the NHL, they understand their roles and what they're supposed to do. And how, and I think with Lindy coming in, I think I played with Lindy when he was drafted. I was a teammate, and I captained him. And one of the things he did was when he came to play, you know, he gave it he wasn't a great skilled player, but he was character, tough, you know, aggressive. He started as a defenseman, you know, and then ended up being a forward.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he came in and I think Scotty or Roger Nielsen put him up as a forward.
Up a forward.
But, and then him, you know, being a coach, you know, I think a career coach, a guy that can get that accountability out when needed.
Do you think Lindy can do that?
I do. I mean, I think his ability to do that as, you know, through his experience of learning from different coaches, from playing the game, all of that has certainly, you know, rubbed off on him, and he's taken that experience and knowledge and used it to his advantage. Look what he did with a young team in Jersey a year ago. He had some issues, you know, last year, obviously, with his goaltending and some injuries to some high-profile players. So I see him coming in here, and yeah, if they need to get a boot in the butt, then he'll give it to them. But I think he's learned a lot as he went on, and I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, behind the bench again.
That's right. Danny, let's finish with game one tonight and the series itself. Who do you like to win? Is it going to be Edmonton or like going to be Florida?
Well, obviously, I have a soft spot. you know, hard for the Oilers.
That's right.
There's an old saying, once an Oiler, always an Oiler. And I have, you know, some friends back in Edmonton that are still part of that organization. And I think, you know, seeing what they did to beat the teams, they beat Vancouver, a top team. You know, Dallas, you know, was a strong, really strong
I was very impressed with the Stars
this year. Impressed with that. And I, you know, I just think that McDavid is on this mission. You know, I mean, I remember him saying, or there was a quote, or I remember reading about after they lost to Vegas last year, he called the players in right after the game they lost to them and said, look, this is not going to happen anymore. He says, we're going to start right now to get to that cup. And, you know, whether it's off-season training, whether it's getting prepared for training camp, whether it's getting ready for the season, then they had a crappy start is what I'm saying.
And a coaching change.
But here he is. And, I mean, he's just willing his way to do that. But on the other hand, I mean, I've watched, because I've spent my winters in Tampa, I watch a lot of the Florida team. And they're a strong, strong team. They swarm you. They got a lot of soldiers. They play hard. They play, you know, an aggressive game. And they've beaten some pretty good teams, too. I mean, they shut down the top players. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they react to Connor McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and so forth. Where on the other side of the coin is, you know, can Florida just continue what they are doing and be able to, you know, be the team as they were last year, but this year more experienced, more, I think, added some, you know, some good quality depth players. So, yeah, we'll see. But it'd be nice to see. I got Rick Dudley there that's part of the Florida organization I played with.
A lot of connections, yeah.
And
we mentioned all the former Sabres.
All the former Sabres. So, yeah, so it's, I mean, I always like to see a team that has never won it win it. You know, even though McDavid hasn't won it, but the Oilers have won it many a time.
That's right.
But so, yeah, it should be. I hope it goes to game seven, as Dan said, Dan Dunleavy. And I'd love to see that. I'm looking forward to getting home after this to sit down and on the couch and pop a cold brew and watch the big tilt.
I agree. Well, thanks for coming by. Appreciate
it. Good to see you.
Hope you're hitting him well on the golf course, too.
Well, my hips bother me a little bit. So.
Oh, no.
But I've gotten through it so far, but we'll see what happens. And, you know, I was just watching a little bit of Scotty Scheffler.
He's winning again. Incredible, right?
Well, he had a triple bogey on 9, though.
I just saw that he came back.
He's a great player. And I love the game of golf. As you guys and your colleague, Kevin, you know, I heard him call the Canadian Open the other night. The other day. So
yeah, he's working this week for the Memorial for doing PGA Tour Live. So
perfect.
He was with us on the phone. But
good to see you, man.
Same here.
All right, Brian.
Thanks so
Take
much.
Care.
All right. Danny Gare with us here. Danny's going to go enjoy the party and the festivities. If you want to come in, you can say hello to Danny yourself in person here as we broadcast live from inside the Park Place room. Okay, timeout. We got to get a couple of commercial breaks in here. Good stuff. Thanks to Dan Dunleavy and Danny Gare. Hope you enjoyed those conversations. Timeout from Batavia Downs. Back in a moment on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
.443, welcome back here to Batavia Downs Gaming. It's rocking here inside the Park Place room, and that was just awesome radio. I hope you enjoyed that. If you loved some Sabres, the Stanley Cup talk, Dan Dunleavy, Danny Gare, back-to-back, I was just sitting here smiling the whole time. Really, really good stuff from both of them. So thank you to both Dan and Danny for joining us here. If you missed any of that, if you want to come back and listen to it on our on-demand audio section, I know Evan will have it up a little bit later on at WGR550.com. Now, on to our next star guest. Ryan Hasenauer rejoins us here. You got to follow two good guests here, Ryan. You're ready, though.
Yeah.
It's pick time. Belmont Stakes here. The 156th running coverage is on Fox right now. 641 post time. As we mentioned earlier, there's maybe up to seven horses you really could make a legitimate argument for here to win. So why don't you go through who you like here for your picks? We'll tweet them out in a moment.
Right. So I've got $30 worth of wagers. I've got two different wagers. I've got a dollar exacta wheel, which is $18, and I have a 50-cent superfecta wheel that's going to be $12. So those are my two wagers today. If you want, so you could just take a couple of the horses that I like, just box them in exacta. You know that we used to do back in the day when we would give out some picks on the radio? Sometimes we'd take five horses, and then you could just do a dollar exacta box, and it would cost you $20.
Yep.
So if you're just looking at about $20 today, pick five horses, and then bet them in a dollar exacta box and just hope that they come in first and second in some order. But I'm trying to make a little money here. I'm trying to, you know, hedge some things with the favorite. So here are the bets that I'm making today. I'm going to be making a dollar exacta wheel, and I'm going to be taking three horses on top, and I'm going to be putting seven horses underneath. So three times six is 18, times a dollar is still $18. Up on top, I'm going to put the five. I am going to put Antiquarian. You know, I talked to Nick the Railbird, and that's what he likes. So Nick knows what he's doing. You know, he's been to the world championships of horse handicapping in Las Vegas. So, I'm not going to take away his best pick. Both him and I'm looking at the cover of the free Belmont program here this is Don's picks that are on the cover here. Don also likes the 10, so I'm going to use the 10 as well. And then I am going to use the favorite Sierra Leone, the number 9. So on top, I've got 9, 5, and 10. Underneath, yes, I'm taking 7 of the 10 horses. I'm taking the 1, 2, 3, the 5, 6, and the 9, 10, and I'm going to be putting them underneath on this dollar exacta wheel. So the 9, 5, or 10's got to come in first, and any one of those 7 could come in second, and I'm going to go ahead and win. And again, it all depends on what kind of horse comes in first. If it's a long shot, it's going to be a higher payout. If it's a favorite, might still pay because there's a lot of money in the win pool today. Brian, that's another thing that people tend to forget. If you go to an OTB branch on, let's say, a Tuesday afternoon, and you're betting Gulfstream, well, there's a lot of money in that pool. There's people betting from all around the world on Gulfstream in the third race on a Tuesday. But let me tell you something. In the 12th race on the first or second weekend in June at the Belmont, there's a lot of money in this pool. So even when it comes quote-unquote chalk, even when it comes in with some of the favorites, you're still making money. There still could be money to be made. The second bet I'm going to make is a 50-cent superfecta wheel, so that's 50 cents for every different combination that I have. And I'm going to wheel the 9 on top. I think the 9's going to win. I got the 5 and the 10 coming second. And then in third, I've got the 1, 3, 5, 6, 10. And then in fourth, the 1, 3, 5, 6, 10. So that's 1 times 2 times 4 times 3. And that's going to be 24 times 50 cents is $12. Okay. So I'm making that wager. I'm going to take a picture of this. I'm going to tweet it out at RyanH7681. Follow me on Twitter. The things I like to talk about on Twitter are cricket. And I also like to yell about refereeing. Those are like my big things. So follow me if you like people trying to hold referees accountable.
Yes, you do that quite a bit.
I do.
Do a good job of it.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, so we got that going on. Boy, it's packed in here, Ryan. Yes. 300 people in here enjoying our Bourbon and Whiskey Fest. So really looking forward to seeing everybody out here. And, again, thanks to you and everybody from WGR, Bridget and everybody for the Triple Crown and all the things that you guys do coming here, helping advertise our events. Thanks to Jeremy and Joe for having Nick the Railbird on each and every week that there's a Triple Crown race. It really means a lot to us as a public benefit corporation trying to raise money, of course, for all these counties and things like that. It would not be as busy as it is in this room right now that I'm looking at if it wasn't for you and for the folks from WGR. So again, thank you, Brian. And if anyone out there is listening and you're looking to boost your business, give Bridget a call at Odyssey and get yourself advertising on these stations.
Yep. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. I love coming here. I know we talked about it at the start of the show. I've been doing this for I don't know how many years. I don't even want to
at
date
least
myself.
10.
More than that, probably. And I love doing these three every year. So I hope to be back doing another one here next Saturday, the first one in May.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, tomorrow is the 12th anniversary, is my 12th anniversary tomorrow.
Congratulations to you and your wife.
Thank you. And that, of course, because she always gives me the business because, of course, on that day, you and Joe were live from the OTB branch at Orly, and me and all the guys, because I can't see my wife.
And you called in.
I was there.
Oh, that's right. You did show up.
We came.
Never mind.
Because I can't see my wife. What am I doing? My 2B
wife. Right.
So
what else are you going
to
do?
Yeah, me and all the guys got in the limo. We went to OTB to bet the Belmont Stakes. She goes, you did work on my wedding day. I said, It didn't really work. I didn't clock in. I was just there to enjoy myself and talk to the guys at the radio. Gave my picks. I'll have another scratch that year. We could have had a triple crown, but he scratched the night before. It's a bummer.
Professionalism and dedication to his craft.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'm going to quote that next time.
All right, appreciate it. Ryan Hasenauer, there's his picks. I'll tweet it out as well at Brian WGR. All right, timeout. We'll wrap up the show when we return here from Batavia Downs after this timeout. All right, final segment here. We just got a few seconds live at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel, and want to just use these few seconds to thank everybody that made the show so great today. Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bisons, his game tonight, 6:35 from Lehigh Valley on the Bet 1520. Dan Dunleavy, voice of the Sabres, his insight on the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Sabres. The great Danny Gare, his thoughts as well on hockey and the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. We will have the game on WGR coming up tonight, so hope you can join us for that. Big thanks to Evan DePasquale. He's been with me all morning and all afternoon long since tee to green bright and early at 7 in the morning. Great job all day, Evan. And for Ryan Hasenauer here from Batavia Downs and everybody at Batavia Downs Gaming, my name is Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Got a couple of hours of CBS Radio coming up, and then Game 1, Edmonton and Florida. Enjoy that tonight. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And thanks for listening to our Belmont Stakes special show here from Batavia Downs on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.